Hallelujah. Well, we're going to keep moving on in the message entitled Gods of Our Fathers. If you've not been here to hear what we're preaching about, what this message is about, when Joshua was about to turn over command, he challenged the children of Israel once again to not serve the gods of their fathers, which if you know anything about it, the gods of their fathers were actually the gods they were about to head back into. Because, see, they'd brought them all. It had all gotten crossed up. However, today, you know, Trish doesn't have an idol of Baal in her closet. And Liz doesn't have an idol of Ishtar in hers. Yeah, they switched. But what we do wind up serving is we end up serving the same spirit. That is why you will see alcoholism run through families. As a matter of fact, I know one family in particular that after the death of the alcoholic father, grandfather, who was not actually any part of their lives other than to be a sperm donor, to put it mildly, he died. And after they buried him, this man's little boy, and I think he was only like 5 or 6 at that time, if that. It would probably been 5 or 6. And he went into the house and he told his mother, said, "Mommy, the man that we saw in the casket is walking up the driveway." Now, for you that don't understand what was happening, it's called a familiar spirit. And that spirit was coming to visit. Actually, came to stay. Because I know this man. And this man became what his father was. An alcoholic. He was already a closet alcoholic. Now he just doesn't give a rip. And what happens is he's serving the same God that his father served. Now you say, "Well, Pastor, you're freaking me out here. What did you think all this? You think all the horror movies, they're not all fake. Some of that is real stuff that they're dealing with." Now, I'm not worried about werewolves and vampires and Frankenstein and mummies. It's when you start dealing with spirits, you're dealing with a real issue. See, there was a witch of Endor that went and conjured up what she saw was a spirit of Samuel. The Bible says it was a familiar spirit. It was a spirit that had been butting against Samuel enough that it knew Samuel. It knew how to act like Samuel. So it presented itself as Samuel. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I do not think by any means that Samuel was possessed. Okay? I do not live with the mindset that a Christian can be possessed. Oppressed, yes. Oppression and possession are two entirely different things. But anyhow, so today we do not serve idols of gold and silver, although that may be, but the ultimate God you are serving is the demon behind that. And that's the same way these people were. They were serving the demon behind the Baal, behind the Ishtar, behind the Ashtaroth, behind all of these gods. They were serving these demons. And most of the time there was lust, greed and envy and all this other stuff went in there. Things that God says are not of Him. Now last week we were looking at greed. And then last week what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the God that we serve. And not by we, I'm saying loosely we as human beings. And then I'm going to give you the godly characteristic that you're supposed to be replacing that with. Because see, there is a counterpart. How many men have a counterpart? You got a counterpart, it's a woman. Same thing for women. You have a counterpart, it's a man. That's the way God made us. That's why God made woman out of man. They are supposed to come back together. And so in the spiritual, reflects the natural. They're not too far off. You know, well, Pastor, some of that stuff you're talking about just sounds a little, you know, far-fetched, so space-age kind of stuff. Yeah, it does, doesn't it? But you know what? I can watch TV on a computer. 20 years ago, that was far-fetched. 20 years ago, me having a home computer was far-fetched. Because they couldn't pick one up for $500 to $800. You were $5,000 to $8,000. You understand? So things change. I mean, for crying out loud, we send up, we've got men that are living in space on a space station. We've got all kinds of things that 20, 30, 40 years ago were just out there. They couldn't believe them. You know what I mean? And as far as the technology of weapons is concerned, rifles. They've got weapons now, sniper rifles, that'll shoot 5 miles. Up before that, the longest recorded shot was 3. And that was on top of a hill, a big hill. But now they got 5 miles. You just stop and think about it. That'd be like sitting here in Mount Gilead and shooting at a target in Williamsport. That's a haul. But it was something that was, a couple years ago, was just goofy. Oh, you're just silly, think that. Really? We're developing weapons now that are just sound. They can knock you down, make you just lay there. People pick you up and drag you off and do whatever they want. So the things in the spiritual are reflecting the natural, and we just need to see that. Because if we see that, we will be just like the people who saw the weapon that could knock people down without killing them. You're going to be on the forefront of it. You're not going to be on the back trying to run and catch up with it. How many of you are always constantly trying to run and catch up with, keep up with what's going on with your computer? Probably everybody. There's a few people in here that are techies, and praise God for them, because they keep me straight. But most of us are always running, always learning. Oh, wow, you know, well, Joshua got a new train game the other day. I mean, it's pretty cool, really. You can make mountains and valleys and lay track and paint your trains and do all kinds of things. It's cool. We have yet to figure out how to put water in it. We can make it snow, we can make it rain, but we can't put water in the holes for the lakes. So we got to learn how to do that. So it's something that, you know, you've got to learn. But the guy who built the program knows exactly how to do it because he dreamed it up. He was staying in tune with what's going on. And if we'll stay in tune with what the Spirit is telling us, the things that happen in the world are not going to surprise us. So neither should the fact that, well, you know what? You mean to tell me, Pastor, that there's a spirit behind everything that is done? Pretty much. So our second one is pride. Now, when Angela and I were sitting down, we were having a discussion. I forget where we were coming home from. And we just started, I was like, man, you know, the Lord had hit me with that message. And I think we might have been coming home from Texas. And so I pulled back in the back of my Bible and started writing, or not my Bible, but my notebook, and started writing down all these things. And we were like, oh, yeah, you know, my family, pride is a big issue. Can I tell you something, folks? Every family, pride is an issue. Okay? Some of us just flaunt it a little more than others. But in reality, everybody succumbs to pride. Well, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying pride is basically the base root of all that's evil. Pastor, I contradict Scripture. Actually, Scripture says money is a root of all evil. Case in point, why did Lucifer fall? Pride. That's where it all began. It didn't fall because he said, somebody came up and said, hey man, here's 20 gold coins. He didn't need the money, for crying out. If you've ever read the Scripture that talks about Lucifer, he's covered in precious gems. He's got instruments coming out of him. So that's why I want to remind you that when you see something, or you know, the devil tries to throw a dream of a scary figure in your mind, I have to laugh when I go into the movie store or something and I see these horror movies. And they got these great big old devil things with horns and fingernails and fangs. Where did they dream that one up? Yeah, it's a lie. The devil doesn't look like that. The Bible says we're going to look at him and say, you're kidding, right? You're the dude that has made nations shake. So pride. He got off into pride. And then he did start trading off the worship and the glory and everything that belonged to God. See, we can receive it and pass it on. See, when you know, people come and tell me, say, Pastor, great message. You know, I honestly have to tell you, it's not me. It's not because I came up with such a great message. I'm an uneducated man in that realm. Okay? Be honest with you, I find that a lot of people that are coming out of Bible schools are uneducated still. Why? Because I can go up to the Bible bookstore and find a whole book on sermons. All I got to do is go in and put the date on them of when I preached it. It's a sermon. Somebody else 300 years ago wrote it. Come on. But somebody comes up and tells me, great message, Pastor. I say, thank you. Because I'm not receiving the glory for myself. I'm merely an instrument, and I know that, and I keep that in mind. But let me tell you what, that is a hard walk in anything you do. Hey, Keith, great job on that roof, man. You did an excellent job. Shingles look perfect. Now, can I tell you something? What really sickens me is when people, you know, somebody comes, well, Keith, great job on those shingles. Oh, it's all for the glory of God. You know, I just do it all for God. No, you don't. You're doing it because you want a paycheck. I know if Keith was going to do something just for the glory of God, he would do something besides roofing. We would all do something maybe a little different. Because, yeah. So it's just kind of ridiculous when people say, I just do it all for the glory. Man, everything you should do, everything you do, when you get out of morning or get up out of bed in the morning, when you're driving down the road, when you hit yourself in the head with a post driver, not that I did that for the glory of God, but I just thank God that I've been disciplining myself not to fly off the handle. Because my neighbor was watching. And let me tell you, you know how he knew I got hit? I think he heard it. I don't know if it was the lack of the doing or if it was a louder doing, but one of the two got his attention. So pride, Proverbs 8:13. Go ahead and turn there. Say amen when you're there. Okay, got a couple, so we're going to read. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. The fear of the Lord. What did God just equate evil with? Pride. The arrogant look. Now, you've heard me talk about pride before. I tell people, you've got to have some pride in yourself. And you do. You got to have pride in the fact that you're not a bottom dweller. See, that was the first thing that the Marines beat into us. First off, they broke us down. But then they had to build us up. And then they had to make sure, because see, we had to be tore down first to learn to serve others. You didn't think I learned that in the Marines, did you? Where else did you think I learned it at? Because in church, I learned to serve myself. I grew up in the church. We learned to serve ourselves, whatever makes us feel good. But in the Marine Corps, I learned, hey, I got to think about what's going on with Richard over here. I got to be thinking about what's going on over here with Keith. I got to be thinking about that. How's this going to affect them? So I learned that servant part, which we'll talk about that here in a little bit too. But after they did all that, they told us to stand up. We were never allowed to look down. I didn't realize I'm back in that habit. If I walk in front of somebody in a store, you know, you're in the aisle, you have no choice, do you? I'm sorry, they just clutter up the aisles and you got to walk in front of somebody. Or they make them 10 feet tall, so you got to stand back 20 feet and somebody, you got to walk between somebody. And I found myself looking down and saying, excuse me, sir or ma'am. Why do I feel the need to look down? Why look down? People who focus on looking down are down. Because then what happens is, you know what, Keith, you're not as good of a Christian as you thought you were, man. Come on. Who's going to use you? God's not going to use you, man. And then next thing you, exactly. And it keeps you focused on looking down. It keeps you focused on something besides the end result, the end goal. See, when we were running for running in formation, and I loved leading cadence. I can't sing a lick here, but you get me out with about 20 guys in a formation, boy, I can sing a song. But anyhow, not anymore. I'll just tell you that right now. I probably can't sing from here to the door and run at the same time. But I used to be able to run for miles on end and do that. And, you know, some of these guys, you know, we're getting up, we're there at 5:30. We are stepping off at 5:30 in the morning running. Most everybody else is just thinking about getting out of bed at that time. These boys stayed out until about midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the bars. They're running down through there. All they want to do is go back to bed. They're looking down. So we made a cadence. There ain't no sense in looking down. There ain't no discharge on the ground. What are you looking for? Get your eyes up. Look up. Because if you're looking down, you can't see what's ahead of you. And in the spiritual realm, when you get beaten down and you start looking down, you're not focused on God anymore. You're focused on self. Where are each of my steps taking? Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. When you're looking down, you're trying to walk by sight. But when you're looking up, focused on something at the end, you are walking in faith that that's where you will wind up at. And therefore, it is not boastful, arrogant pride that you stand up, roll your shoulders back, stick your chest out, and strut. That was another thing they tried to teach us, to strut. It just doesn't work in formation, though. But you see, they built that pride up in us of who we were because they knew they had already built the foundation inside that this boy or this girl will react and give their life. The Bible says there's no greater love than a man gives his life for his friends. So don't sit there and tell me, well, you know, Pastor, I came to church, therefore, you know, I'm doing my good thing. Whoop-de-ding-dong. You're supposed to do that. I pray, Pastor. Good. The devils do too. I believe in God. I love that one. I believe in God. Paul says, you do good because the demons in hell believe. You just classified yourself with a demon. Don't you feel great now? Bible says we're not below. We are above. We are more than conquerors. Greater is he that's in us. Let me tell you what he's telling you. He's telling you to stand up, roll your shoulders back, stick your chest out. Get focused on where you're going. That is not arrogant, boastful pride. The pride comes in what we're doing. Now, I did know guys who were like that. I'm sure everybody in here can. But in the Marine Corps in particular, I knew guys that they were obnoxious. Because, see, what happened is they got to looking at the troops as, you're here to serve me. The truth of the matter is, it doesn't work that way. The general is there to serve the private. What the Bible says too here. We'll read it. But so when I tell you, when you hear me talk about having a little pride, that's what I'm talking about. Who are you? I am more than a conqueror. I think I would rather hear, praise God, you're more than a conqueror, Keith. Man, you're above only and not beneath. The devil can't stand you. The devil doesn't like you. Rather than, hey man, you're the devil's best friend. Oh, man. Because you know what that means. That means I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. If I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, I'm a face card in the devil's deck. That's the little term we've used now with all the terrorists. You know, we got that whole card. We got the king, you got the ace, king, queen, jack. There were certain terrorist leaders who fit one of those cards. Well, see, Paul understood that. The devils knew who he was. Do you think Paul walked around here, oh, I'm just so lowly, I'm just so humble. He didn't keep beating himself up because he had been a sinner, but he had to bring it up to the other people because they're like, well, we haven't, you know, what's sin? You know, we don't sin much. Or, oh, we are just so low. He had to debase himself in order to push them up. But he didn't stay down there. That's the problem. See, I'll be more than willing to jump in the mud and pull somebody out. But if you think I'm going to stay in the pigsty, you're nuts. I've been there. It's not a fun place to be. You can get down there and you can pick somebody up and push them up out of it. But if you stay in the waller, you're going to be just like them. There's nothing more depressing than two drunks crying on each other's shoulder. And that's what happens. Oh, you ought to hear my problem. Oh, no, you ought to hear mine. And then they just spend the whole night trying to come up with who's got the worst life. And the truth of the matter is, you're pathetic. Now, I got a lot of scriptures. Believe it or not, there are a lot of scriptures about pride in the Bible. And everybody wants to spend time talking about blessings. Well, the blessings will come, but you got to deal with the pride. If you don't deal with the pride, what's the point in having a blessing? It'll pull you down. I'll show you that here too in a minute. Philippians. You know what? I second guessed that. Yes, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. What did I just tell you that Paul did? Paul was looking out for his own interests as well, but he was looking out for the interests of these other people. So he had to pull them up. He had to push them out of it. He had to tell them he was the worst of all sinners, which actually Paul had a revelation of what sin was. And, you know, one sin is sin. He was no different than the adulterer, the murderer. He was no different than a traitor, a liar. But you know what? I highly doubt Paul did all those things. He was the Pharisee of Pharisees. Come on. He was the cream of the crop. He was a person who lived by the law. So I don't think Paul was going out there extorting people and all this other stuff. He honestly thought that when he was having Stephen stoned, that he was doing the will of God. That's how much he thought he was. He thought he was right on the money. However, God had to get through to him with a divine revelation on a little road, a little dirt road. But Philippians tells us to not think more highly of ourselves, or not let anything be done with selfish purposes, selfish motives. Just do it. See, if I start looking at the congregation as my source of income, I'm going to go down a real rough road here real quick. Because that's not what you are. You're the ones God has entrusted to me. But see, a lot of people sit back and they start looking at the flock as, oh, that's where my money comes from. So therefore, everything I got to do, I got to make sure I butter. You know, if I butter up Keith enough, he might throw an extra 20 in. That's what people do. I love you enough to tell you the truth. I'm not going to butter you up. If I tell you something, I mean it. If I give you a compliment, I mean it. Ladies, do not take offense to this. If I don't give you a compliment, don't go thinking anything strange. Okay? I don't notice it all the time when my own wife cuts her hair. Yeah, I know. It's when she highlights and stuff. That's when I notice it. Because I have to pay attention. Because, see, I like to sneak up on her in the stores. And a couple years ago, she just got her hair done. I mean, that day, and I wasn't quite used to it. So we're walking around Bed Bath & Beyond, and I saw this figure over there by herself. And I was like, yes. Sneak up behind her, goose her. And, well, I got up about right here, and I realized, that's not Angela. So I've worked on trying to make sure that I know, because she was built just like Angela, so that's why I had, and they're like, oh, here's my wife. You know, she's by herself. I don't care about the security cameras. But anyhow, so if I give you a compliment, I mean it. I'm not trying to butter you up. I'll tell you if I'm going to try to butter you up. Oh, hey, Richard, old buddy, just trying to butter you up here, man. I need a favor from you. Now, first off, I'm only going to ask you if I think you're going to do it, for starters. If I've got to butter you up to get you to do something, I might as well do it myself. Because you really don't want to do it. But if I just say, hey, Richard, got a favor for you, from you, need a favor from you. Sure, what do you... You know, that kind of stuff. But see, today, we feel the need to have, we call it greasing the wheel. Squeaky wheel gets all the attention. You know, everybody keeps claiming favoritism and stuff, but what they don't realize is what you sow is what you reap. So good things, you reap good things. But you see, Jesus taught us that if you want to be great, you got to be the lowest. You got to be the most humble. You've got to be on the bottom. Because guess what? You're the one pushing everybody. Now don't go getting in a fight to be on the bottom. Because trust me, you get kicked a lot. Sometimes it's inadvertently, but you ever been on the bottom of a dog pile? That's the wrong place to be in. I grabbed a young man over in Okinawa. We called it load testing because we were in the shop. And we'd load test them. I don't know if you guys did this. You tackle a guy in the hallway and yell load test as you're doing it, and everybody in the barracks comes out. And you got a 30-man dog pile in the middle of the... And I grabbed this kid one time, and he just got there. Well, in the process, he'd spun sideways, so his hips were right here. After about the 15th person that jumped on the top, I said, get off! You're killing me! So sometimes being on the bottom isn't always the best place to be. But for what Paul's talking about, if we will humble ourselves, not see ourselves as, ooh, I'm a Sunday school teacher. Look at me. Ooh, I'm the pastor. Woohoo! Do you know what differentiates you from me? God told me to do something. God told me to do this. That's it. Up until that point, I was just like you. I was happy where I was at, really. You can stay behind the scenes. I'm more of a behind the scenes guy. I don't like for people, I like to work stealthily, you know? People not know where I'm at, what I'm doing. I hated it when we had to put name tapes on our uniforms. Somebody said, "Why?" I think Angela said, why do you do that? I said, because now people know who I am. I can do things and they didn't know who I was. But now they know my rank and my name. And I don't think there's another Corporal Waddell in the entire Marine Corps right at the moment. So they knew who I was, and it wasn't going to be hard to find me. Not that I was always up to bad things. Periodically, I would do sneaky things. But I was more of a behind-the-scenes guy. Still am. I look forward to preaching because this is my life. I love it, but I would still rather get back and serve. I'd still rather go make somebody else shine. And no, I'm not up here patting myself on the back. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Chapter 3 is talking about qualifications of overseers. Now, he's talking about bishops here, which is the preacher, or the elder, as is the same thing, basically. But what we want to look at is in verse 6. It says, a bishop is not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Do you mean to tell you what happens when people get saved? I remember this one time, this young man came to me and said, I believe I'm called to preach just like you. I really don't wish that calling on everybody. Really, I don't. Because see, after it was God knows how to work me. See, I joined the Marines without realizing that they get from point A to point B on boats. And I don't really do boats that well. I got seasick the last time I was out on the Atlantic. I can imagine 6 months out at sea. Oh. Hey, how about putting me in a helicopter? And I got sick in the helicopters too. Of course, it didn't help none that I'm sitting in on the port side and I'm looking out the starboard window and looking at the bottom of the valley in the Philippines, which if you're not for certain, that means we were flying on our side like that. It was a little unnerving, but see, I didn't check that out. I didn't find out, oh, yeah, Marines got from point A to point B on boats. Ships. Well, see, I didn't check everything out when I said, yes, Lord, I'll do this. I just signed a contract. Then I got in there and found out, Paul said, don't you know that teachers are going to be judged harder? What? It was already hard enough. But now you turn the heat up? I wish I'd have read the fine print. I'd have still done it. But see, Paul is telling Timothy how to set up bishops, how to make sure that people are in the positions where there's that. Not somebody who is a novice, who doesn't know how to handle the authority given to them. There are some people, they come in, man, they, all right, pastor, I've been saved for a year. I went to Bible school. I'm ready to take over. What do you want me to do? I want you to clean the floors. You know, that's kind of how I find out if you're worth your weight and what you're saying. How you serve. Yeah, the floors need mopped. Floor needs vacuumed. Dust needs cleaned off. Windows need done. How well do you serve? Because if you're telling me you're ready to teach, you've got to be able to do the windows first. You've got to be able to clean the toilet first. Well, pastor, you don't. Who do you think set all the toilets? Trust me. I'm the one that put all the pipe in the ground for them. And it wasn't all clean pipe either. There was some used pipe in that area. We'll just stop there. But that's how God looks at it. Were you obedient when they ask you to do the little things? Because then I'll make you ruler over much. But if you didn't do the little things, I can't trust you. But that's what people want today. Ooh, pastor, I got this great vision. Keep trucking, keep running. We'll see how the vision pans out. Because I need to know that I can count on you. If I can't count on you to follow that thing through, it's going to wind up in my lap, and I promise you, I do not need another thing to do. Well, pastor, don't you just stay at home or just go sit in the office? First off, I hate sitting in an office all day. And no, I do not just sit at home. Because, you know what winds up? Well, here's what's hilarious. Being a pastor, I find that I do more ministering in the stores than I do anywhere else. I go out and I'll just find somebody, and next thing you know, I'm ministering to them. I got a guy over at Menards I minister to about every time I go over. He works there. But you know what? God put him there for me. God had actually showed me several weeks before. He showed me his face, told me, started praying for him. Lo and behold, next thing you know, I walk past him in the store, wearing a Marine shirt, and he says, "Hey, devil dog, Semper Fi, devil dog." I was like, "Hey, don't I know you? 25 years ago I did." But anyhow, so I find that I start ministering more there. You want more responsibilities? You got to be proven faithful, which means you got to be proven that you are not stuck on, "I got to have a teaching position." No, if you can't be faithful to come and periodically pull the weeds out of the flowers out there, you're not going to be faithful to teach our children. And by the way, our children, I don't view them as our children are our future. You know why we're in such a mess we're in now? Because we didn't view that 40 years ago. Children are tax exemptions. Our children are our future now. I love this country. Now, personally, I believe Jesus Christ is going to return and take us out of here as the church, as the bride, before we see a total collapse of this country. I pray that's the way it goes. That's the way I believe, because I love this country. I don't think there is a greater country in the world. There's some beautiful spots. You know, the Philippines had some beautiful spots, but it's the armpit of the world. In my opinion, that's the way I thought of it. It stunk. Now, I've heard people say you got to get away, get out further in the jungle. Well, you know, further out in the jungle, I saw some of the snakes they caught around the base, and they were 25, 30 feet long. I personally don't want to go further in the jungle where they don't know what they've got. You know, they didn't teach you to make hammocks for no reason. They taught you to make a hammock so you weren't sleeping on the ground with the cobras. Just something a little unnerving about waking up with a 8-foot cobra coiled up on your chest. So an elder, a leader, is not to be somebody who's a novice who can get puffed up with the position. It takes a little bit of time. You want faithfulness? I look at it. I see, are you willing to change? Are you willing to grow? If you are, then you start getting promoted. People around here have been promoted as I've seen that they're fitting, and God has released me to do that. Because there's people in here, I'm telling you right now, folks, there are people in here I want to promote, but things are not ready. They're not ready. And I'm going to tell you right now, Katie bar the doors. When that happens, you watch the anointing that'll fall. You think the anointing gets good in here from time? You wait until things, people start lining up with where they're supposed to be. Because that's, oh, yeah, never mind. Go to James chapter 4. You know what's funny is I've already preached almost a full message. And I'm only into the fourth scripture. And only 20 minutes in. If you get bored, just start slapping yourself in the back of the head. James chapter 4, verse 6. But he, God, gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, let's start with grace here. Grace is not the big cover-up. Grace does not give you an excuse to go out and live a life of sin. Grace is the power to overcome that sin. Okay? Grace gives you, hey, I fell, but here's my grace. I will extend it to you again. Get up. He gives you that grace to recover, to keep fighting, to keep moving on. And then if he doesn't give you that grace, well, he gives you that grace, but then if he has to, he will use somebody to come along behind you and put the fear of God in you to get up. That's what our drill instructors were for. Ain't it right, JD? Man, you'd fall down, guys. You fall down on a course or something, and your instructors were there yelling at you to get back up. What are you doing down? I didn't tell you to get down. Get up, get up, get up, move, move. You're dead already. Get down. He'll put somebody there to motivate you. You don't want that kind of motivation. I'd rather get back up and let God's grace help me through this. Now, he says, God resists the proud. That means he's standing against you. A resistance. It's a force. You know, I had to, the Lord gave me this great analogy of it. You know, if anybody's ever had to look for an electrical problem, you got to check the resistance of the wire because it might be broke. It might be corroded and can't let the electricity flow through that wire. That's what it's talking about. He's there. He's restricting it. He's cutting off everything. He's blocking. He's standing against you if you're walking in pride. But can I tell you what the best kind of conductor is? Conductor is something that, in electrical terms, that it flows through. I mean, man, it just... I've had, it was over here in this other building. We were trying to, the breakers weren't marked in the box, and we were trying to take them out systematically, and we had to have some of them on. So I thought, well, I've done this before, just short it out on the ground, and it's fine. Well, you know, in commercial buildings, the conduit's grounded. So I took the hot wire with a pair of pliers. See, I've been shocked before. And I struck it on the ground on the conduit to try to trip the breaker. Breakers were faulty. It wasn't breaking. All I'm doing is cutting a hole through that conduit. It's like a welder. The electricity was flowing just fine through that copper wire. Now, we add alloys to things to make them a little stronger. But in God's world, he doesn't want anything else in there. See, he talks about refining us as silver. He wants us pure. When we're pure, his love, his anointing can flow through us. It's not hindered by corruption. It's not hindered by the corrosion of life. It's not hindered by a severance. He fixes those things. He cleans them up. And he lets his anointing flow through us. But it's restricted. Most of the time because of pride. Well, this is who I am, man. Aren't you, you know, you should feel grateful that you're in my presence. I've actually known people who are like that. Real disgusting, isn't it? So God says he resists them. If you're wondering, I tell people this. Listen, if you're running up against a wall everywhere you turn, drop to your knees. Look to the sky and say, okay, God, I'm wrong. Forgive me. Because I'm going to tell you right now, usually, sometimes you don't, and God has to tell somebody else to tell you, and then that's when you get mad at them and you storm out. I ain't ever going back there. They don't preach the word. They're just preaching things to make people feel better. Now, eventually, you guys get to feeling better about Tuesday. Then if you come on Wednesday, it takes you until about Friday to start feeling better. Because my goal is to teach you a message that'll change your life. If you don't get changed by the word, we just became another social club. But anyhow, if you will humble yourselves and drop to your knees and pray. Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven. Then he will hear. He will hear the words he's already spoken. He's just waiting to enact them. He's going to hear and he will enact them in your life. But we got to humble ourselves and say, God, I screwed up royally this time. Do you know God will take you back? God will take you back, pick you back up. You know, Keith, have you ever fallen off a roof? No, good. Fell on, I rode one down one time. But, you know, you fall off the roof. I saw this guy. We were putting on new roofing, metal roofing on the turkey barns in North Carolina, and they had oil on them. I mean, we're talking 20-foot sheets of metal, and we're shoving them up on there, and he's just going across, putting his nail in, and to hold them in place. Well, you know, after so many of those, your shoes get coated in that oil, and your pants are coated, and all we heard was, look out below, look up. And this guy probably, at that point, was about 45. And I'm thinking, man, that's going to hurt. Man, he just, boom. But he'd done that before, so he knew how to hit the ground and keep on running. But you see, I watched another guy who wasn't used to it, and he slid off of a roof, landed square on his rear end, and, you know, messed his back all up. But you see, God says, okay, if you'll humble yourselves, I'll pick you right back up. I'm going to fix what happened, and I'm going to take you on down. We're going to keep going. We're going to keep focused. We're going to keep marching towards our goal. Our goal is to share the love. Like I said, I don't give in too much to sometimes to what some of the saints, as they call them, have said in the past. But there's one I do like, and it was St. Augustine. He said, preach always, and if necessary, use words. In other words, people are going to look at your life. You know, people. You know, if Keith walks around acting, I'm just picking on you today since you're on the front. But if Keith walked around all the time and acted like he was perfect, he's never going to exemplify the love of God. I was watching a show, and in this show, they have a Christian in the show. And, you know, and I had to think, you know, and this person is never smiling, never happy, always judgmental, always critical of people. And this is a young person in the show, too. And, you know, they were playing a game one time. There was a fire, and they had to wait. And somebody said it was called Island. Two of the things were okay. The last was just off the wall. But said if you could take three books and have on the island, what would you take? The Bible. Well, that's a good one. Yeah, of course, take the Bible. Somebody said, well, you got two more choices. No. Okay. Purpose-driven life. Can I tell you something? You can eliminate purpose-driven life if you actually read the Bible. Your purpose in life is to love the people. Well, that's what I thought. I thought, man, I might take my Bible, maybe take my Strong's and my Greek word study book. I might take those. But no, I don't want to take a third one. Okay. But what the thing is how they depicted the Christian. Why? Because that's what a lot of us come off as. Oh, you're just holier than thou. I'm not saying you go to the bar after work with the people. I'm just saying, how about being friendly with them? You know, love them. Treat them like you'd want to be treated. Now, she had some other good characteristics. She stayed working while everybody else was off playing. You know, they tried to make light of that. That's actually a good characteristic. When I hired people and they were working for me, I wasn't hiring them to sit around and play tiddlywinks. I was paying them to do a job. Now, I hired you to paint. I wanted to come back and see the job done, or are you still working? And if the job's done, the floor had better be swept up. Things had better be cleaned. Paintbrush better be cleaned out. Anyhow. In a conductor, the power flows. With a resistor, it is slowed. So if you're a good conductor of God's power, His anointing is going to flow through you. But if you've got issues in there that are acting and are causing resistance, like corrosion, like I said, corrosion gets in on automobiles all the time, it'll slow down the flow of God's love and His anointing that you're going to be able to put out. Let's go ahead and turn over to Romans. Romans 1, chapter 1, verse 22. I'm going to go up to verse 20, kind of build a little bit of a platform on this. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, and became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Can I ask you a question? What is the educational system of today doing? Now, unless you go to a Christian college, and even in the Christian colleges, you still got to watch what some of the stuff, it depends on the college for starters, what they're trying to teach you. But the secular colleges today are trying to get you completely away from God, completely away from anything that's creation. You know, I think this is utterly ridiculous that in this country that a professor can say, I believe that a creator created this earth. And the second he says that, they put him on the blackball list to get rid of him or her. Because they stand up for their beliefs. Now, here's the problem. That is a large part of our educational system. I thank God that right, as of this moment, Mount Gilead is not pushing all that garbage. We have some godly teachers in here who are teaching that they believe there's a God. They believe, as a matter of fact, Joshua had several, one class in particular, they talked about the Bible a lot. I was like, wow. But let me tell you, the day comes when they start telling my child, you have no choice, you fail this test because you will not admit that there's evolution, I will pull my children out of the public school system. Because that is wrong. That's not my beliefs. Now, I know my boys, they like to go to school. They got friends. They like to go. I like to go to school. I like to go. I just hated to do the work. I like the social aspect of it. Especially at the end of the year when you find an old school book and you cut it out and put your squirt gun in it. I spent more money on squirt guns. And anyhow, those of you that are spit wads. Yeah, they still do that. Or sharpening both ends of a welding rod and sticking them in the ceiling in the shop. Now that's just retarded. I'm sorry. That's just stupid. We didn't think about that one all the way through. They come back down with a sharp end on it. Anyhow, but our educational system today is starting to do that. We're professing to be wise. We're smart. Oh, suddenly, this is how the earth was created. This is how the stars were created. It was all an accident. Come on. Why are there not more Earths being made in our solar system? They accidentally forgot to keep going, yeah. Because that's not the way it was. God created the heavens and the earth. God created us. That's why we don't see new species crawling out of the ocean. Oh, Pastor, you know, they're seeing variations of new species. Yes, they have been altered by something we caused. Somebody caused it. Yeah. We watched Godzilla the other night. The new one that Warner Brothers or whoever it was made. You remember when Yokiro Taco Bell dude was running through New York? We watched that. And here's the thing, is the whole premise of it was radiation had caused the mutation of him. You see? But here's what science is trying to say is, you're an accident. This earth is an accident. The solar system to line up and everything spin the way it is an accident. I was reading something the other day. They said that they believe that our moon was, they believe. I couldn't believe I read that. They said they believe that our moon was created when an asteroid or something hit our earth. If something big enough to hit our earth can create the moon, I don't think the earth is going to be here. Just don't think so. Besides that, my Bible says that God put the moon there. How hard is that to believe? It causes the tides to flow. It has its rule and its govern. It provides light at night. But yet science still wants to say, well, you know, I'm not saying things don't hit the moon. I'm not saying things don't hit the earth. I mean, you just go down here to Clarendon, you can see that. They got a big old pointy rock in their back of the cemetery. That's what it is. But what I'm saying is, they're getting foolish. They're getting puffed up in their pride, professing to be wise. Now, let's turn over to Proverbs 12. I told you he was going to be bouncing today. I'm going to hit a couple more things there with that knowledge issue, but just not yet. Proverbs 12:9 says, better is the one who is slighted but has a servant than he who honors himself but lacks bread. What he's talking about is it's better to be humble and have things than to keep making sure people know who you are and you don't even have bread. Excuse me. Whoa. Shouldn't have ate those chocolate chip cookies. That's what whoever brought them, thank you. Excuse me. But anyhow, we will delete that out of the... Ain't that right, Jessica? We will try to find... You'll take care of it. She puts our messages online. Praise God. Anyhow. But a lot of people would rather you look at them... I'll give you a good example. The last 10 years have been an excellent example of this. We see people with big 5,000 square foot homes. Beautiful! No curtains. Oh, that's the way their style. That's new style. No, it isn't the style. They can't afford to put curtains up. They can't afford it. They have two rooms of furniture. And it's stuff that they went to Big Lots and bought. Although you can get some good stuff there from time to time. I'm not talking about the good stuff. Actually, let's go to, what is it? American Freight. We bought this couch years ago for the youth group in Edison one time. Man, that thing was springs. Boing! That one's brand new. But that's what they do. I actually read, and I've still got the thing, because there's some good points. It says 10 things millionaires won't tell you. How to be a millionaire. No. Is they don't own all their furniture. If they're going to have a party, they go down to the Rent-A-Center and they pay for furniture for the party. Other than that, they live in a big empty house for the most part. I would rather live in my house with my furniture than living in a 5,000 square foot home and be a prisoner. Because that's what you become. Because first off, now somebody's got to pay that mortgage. But you see, that's what's happened. That is what has hit not the vast majority of Americans, but a lot of Americans. They decided to go out. Hey, I would rather people see the things that I've got. Oh, wow, you're losing weight. You want a diet? Oh, yeah, do you like it? Actually, you're looking a little thin. You eating right? Oh, no, this is my diet. This is the new look. It's a new look if you're spending all your money on a car payment and your furniture payment and your stereo payment and your mortgage and you're starving to death. That's what he's talking about. People will do that, and they've done it, and it's caught them. And over to Psalm chapter 73. Psalm 73. Truly, God is good to Israel. To such as are pure in heart. Remember that whole pure conduct, conductor issue? This is David, though. He said, but as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He said, I got envious of those in those 5,000 square foot homes. I got envious of that real nice fancy car they're driving. I got envious of that suit they bought on a credit card. I was envious of them because they don't look like they got any problems. Things look good. Well, let's keep going. For there are no pangs in their death. But their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men. Nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride serves as their necklace. It's hanging around your neck. You know what you say about things that hang around your neck, right? They can hang you. Notice, no necklace. Even when we wore dog tags, they broke away real easy because, you know, I saw a guy, well, I think it was Joshua early on when he was a little boy. I told him, go get an extension cord. Here he comes carrying an extension cord around his neck. I said, don't ever let me see you carry an extension cord or anything around your neck. It's one slip and you can hang yourself. That's what pride does. Pride's hanging around. See, they think it's all for the glory. Oh, look at my nice Mercedes-Benz emblem, my nice dollar bill emblem. I had a roommate in Camp Johnson who was right after boot camp. He was kept from California. He had all that stuff. He was a white dude. He had all these big gold necklaces, and it was a dollar bill. I put them on one night. We took some pictures and sent them to Angela. But it's the only time you'll see me dressing like a rapper. And anyhow, you know, but that's what they're doing. They're wearing it around. It's their status symbol. Look at me. I don't have any problems. Well, the truth of the matter is, they do have problems. Death still bites them. Let's go on. Let's go back to 6. Therefore, pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Action. They're always busy. Much action. That's what the word, most of the time in the Bible, the word violence is referring to much action. Not necessarily beatings. Although there are cases that is what they're talking about. But as in the violent, the kingdom of heaven suffers violent, and the violent take it by force. He's not talking about people who are out beating each other. He's talking about people with action. And that's what he's talking about here, is their actions cover them. They are so busy. Do you know what, in my opinion, what a big problem is in this country? We're too stinking busy. We are involved in everything. And it's hard not to stay, it's hard to stay out of them. People will run you to death. When we were looking at buying a photography studio in North Carolina, our pastor, she had helped start the studio, and she said, Art, Angel, I'll tell you this right now. She said, if people will work you 7 days a week, they do not care. See, when you're the photographer, it's not like you can just have somebody else cover your shift. You're the photographer. She said, people will run you 7 days a week. Don't let them do it. She said, I tried to tell my mom. Her mom was the one we were buying it from. They had started it together. She said, I've tried to tell mom this, and she won't listen. And so you got to understand, her mom suffered a minor stroke while we were there. Because she wouldn't listen. She was running herself ragged. Many actions. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. This is what David is seeing of these people. Who have many possessions, which again, it's not the possessions that make you evil. It's what you do with them. You know, you can have a 1986 Yugo and still be in the same condition versus somebody with a 2009 Ferrari. It doesn't matter. It's what you do with them. It's just like money. Money in and of itself is not evil. It's an inanimate object. Okay? It's what I do with that money that makes it evil. If I give the money to drill a well, that's a good thing. The money's doing good. But if I go over here to buy drugs, it's a bad thing. But here, David's had his eyes open, verse 18. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors, as a dream when one awakes. So, Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their images. Thus my heart was grieved and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory. David got his eyes open to the truth of what was happening. He started realizing, you know what? They look like they're not in trouble. But here's the problem. Life, when we stop breathing, it doesn't stop. It was on the other end that they were really going to pay. But he said, right now, he said, you're against them. I see that now. They're on slippery rocks, and they will fall. See, don't look at people and say, oh, I'm envious because, you know, that's a nice truck. I wish I had a nice truck like that. Or that's a nice bike. I wish I had a nice bike like that. Or that's a nice boat. I wish I had a nice boat like that. You know what? I don't think you want really what they've got. I see young people today, younger than me, I mean a lot younger than me, just getting out of school. They go out and they buy a brand new fancy car. I mean, you know, high speed, low drag, man, this thing's just loaded. $500 a month payment, no problem. You're still living with mommy and daddy. Now, I do have a personal opinion. I've told my boys, I said, you're welcome to stay here for a while after you graduate. Then it's time for you to move on. Time for you to be a man. It says you will leave. Now, it says you'll take a wife, but eventually you're going to leave. You need to learn how to walk before. And that's this is just kind of a personal opinion, but I think a man needs to learn how to walk as a man before he gets a wife. So he's going to have to be out on his own a little bit and get beat up a little bit. Get knocked around. Figure out, hey, wait a minute. I can't rely on my buddies. My buddies turned against me when I quit buying or drinking. Since we're back here, let's go to Proverbs 11. It says, when pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. Now back in Proverbs 8:13, it says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Now there are two other places in the Bible, it says in Proverbs as well, it says the fear of the Lord is wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is knowledge. Now first off, he's not talking about our temporal, earthly knowledge, okay, that we build up. He's not talking about 2x times 3c equals whatever squared. He's not talking about that. Because I'm going to tell you, I'm sure there's places I could have used algebra, but I figured the problem out without it. It does. That kind of knowledge is not what he's talking about. He's talking about knowledge of God, the wisdom of God. So therefore, wisdom, to hate evil is to have wisdom and knowledge. If you hate evil, you have wisdom and knowledge of God. And that's what you need to know. God wants to tell, you know, God wants to tell you how he created the earth. I mean, he really does. I think you got to understand, we are not that much different than God. He created us in his image, and he himself said, man has now become like us. I think God wants to show us exactly how he created the earth. How he created the sun. That's got my mind on tilt. This is a big old ball of gas. It just keeps burning. Why doesn't the gas ever disappear? Stars are the same thing. Why doesn't the gas just burn up? And then to come to find out that our sun, as huge as it is a baby compared to what we're finding in other universes. And we think we're so smart. We can't even make a car that runs on water yet. Yeah, it probably is made. When pride comes, then comes shame. Shame always. We always hear the saying, pride goes before a fall. Actually, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. But God will not tolerate that in his church. The world, it's already set against them. But for God, it's a different deal. Okay, I want to go to 1 Corinthians 8 real quick. My sound man's flagging me, letting me know that I'm running out of time quick. So I got to kick it in, and it's not as late as you think anyhow. Unless, of course, that clock's wrong again. 8:1. Now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Now, you just hang on one second there. 14:38. 1 Corinthians 14:38 says, but if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. He's talking about tongues in that particular spot, but this is something you can use, period. See, just because you're ignorant in something, there are a lot of things I don't want to be wise about. I don't want to have knowledge of. Why? Why do I not have knowledge of everything? You know, if I know everything that Morgan does at school, when she comes and she talks to us and she tells us what she does, I'm going to be bored. But if it's something new and exciting, I'm going to listen. But if I say, oh yeah, I've already been down that road. Knowledge puffs us up. Again, and we're talking this kind of knowledge. But there are people who can get puffed up on the revelation of the word. There are people, I've heard some people say that, you know, they've known preachers that could quote half the Bible. They had it memorized. I don't ever care to try to physically memorize that. That's a lot. I mean, come on. I have combination locks around my house I can't even remember the combinations to. I lose keys that I put up specifically so that I won't lose them. We had a snowmobile, and every time we'd park the snowmobile, I'd put the key up. I said, remind me, this is where we're putting it so we don't lose it. Next season rolls around, I can't find the key to the snowmobile. So there I am out there rigging the ignition switch so it'll start. And then we find the keys. But anyhow, knowledge will puff us up, but if we walk in love, it edifies. If we use that knowledge to lift somebody else up, you know, Keith's knowledge of roofing could help people out. But if Keith just walks around quoting all kinds of statistics and stuff about the materials and all this and, you know, how you do it. All Keith's doing is showing what he knows. And he's starting to feel a little cockier and more arrogant about things. That knowledge is not doing anybody any good. But let's say Harold's working on a roof, and Keith says, hey, this is what you want. This is how you want to put it on. Harold had no clue how to do it. He didn't know what he was doing. He just knew, I got a hole I got to fix. So therefore, his knowledge, working through love, has edified Harold. It has built Harold up. It gave Harold the confidence that he knows what he's going to do. Not that Harold's going to take his job from him, because I wouldn't want his job. I've done roofing. Brother, you can keep your job. No takers. But you see, it doesn't do us any good unless it's being used to help somebody else. I mean, it doesn't matter what your expertise is. Well, you know, Mike back here, he's our computer tech. He's the one that's been keeping us going on computers, telling us stuff. And he could have all this knowledge in the world, but if he doesn't use it to help other people, it doesn't edify him. Doesn't matter what your job is, you have knowledge of something. But now let's say you get knowledge of the Word, and you walk around and you can puke out scriptures left and right. Big whoop. So what? You've memorized it. Do you live it? Is it something that's changing you? Is it having an effect on you? Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. I am going to have to stop there because I've actually got several more scriptures I wanted to look at, and I just ran out of CD, so. But what I want us to keep in mind, if you're butting up against something, everywhere you turn, you're running into a door. Check your heart. It says God resists the proud. But can I tell you what happens? Anybody ever seen those little, you go into like KB Toys or something, and they got this table set up with little walls, and they got these little battery-operated things that are just bouncing around in there. That's what we are. We just keep bouncing back and forth until we find a way around. We're looking for a way. Well, that must be God's way. No. You said by your mouth that God told you this was the way. But now suddenly he told you to go this way. But God's schizophrenic now. You got a bad memory. He doesn't know which way he wants you to go. No. It says he resists the proud. He's not going to make your life easy. If your life were that easy, just imagine how boring it would be. I know you're thinking, what are you, nuts? Oh, yes, I just walk around and nothing ever, no, there's no challenges, there's nothing to find out if I am what I say I am. No little tests. Do you know how much joy there is when you overcome something? Man, I'll tell you what, my first, I'd say, two nights in boot camp, I remember laying there in the bed thinking, dear God, what did I do? Lord, have mercy. Is there any way you can get me out of this? I knew of one way I could get out of it, and I wasn't going to tell him I was a homosexual. That just wasn't happening. I even laughed at the recruiter when he asked me. I said, you're kidding, right? No. Well, that was a way out, but I wasn't taking it. Can I tell you...